This is CliffCentral.com.
In the 1990s, only 7% of Americans had passports, with 93% of a country missing the personal identity ticket that helps you access the rest of the world. I began to ponder, what does this mean to their identity? Is it limiting on a neurological level? In 2007, I came across a book called The Geography of Thought by Richard Nesbitt, which looks at why Westerners and Africans and Asians think differently. Nesbitt argues that geography and culture play a major role in how we think and evolve beyond the nature and nurture debate. This was right around the time my career began to usher me to various regions of the world, traversing Africa, Eastern Europe, Central Asia, etc. And it became clear to me that there was a higher influence impacting our identities. Something more was at play. The study of the brain and how brands work has inspired this three-part series around thriving globally, particularly in New York. There is a reason why the idiom, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, why it sticks. I wanted to explore what it takes to thrive in big cities all around the world. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the relationship between brain power and brand influence, how they impact each other. This is the final episode of our three-part series exploring the Thriving in New York and Globally series, launching Beyond Your Comfort Zone. Traveling and working outside my birthplace in North Carolina has made me a better person and elevated my mind and heart to levels I didn't think possible. So I thought you would appreciate a conversation which extended beyond your comfort zone. Wherever you are listening to this, consider the value of taking your talents, ideas, and skills beyond the borders of where you live. The world could be calling you and perhaps even need you. I decided to end this series by catching up with neuroscientist Dr. Tara Swart about how she shares her work in neuroscience and leadership around the world and what she's learned about the world while traveling throughout. We catch up twice, in fact, once online while she was traveling across Europe and again in person while she was lecturing in Boston. Let's start with a conversation around her global travels and what it means to her as a neuroscientist. And then we'll end the show with tips she gave me at MIT in Cambridge about how you as a leader can become more agile.
I'm speaking to you from London Heathrow Airport. You asked me when was the first time I worked outside my home country. Well, I was 25. I was a young medic. I came across to Cape Town to work with babies born with HIV and usually their grandmothers, because sadly the mums were not usually around. The following year, I went to Shongwe Mission Hospital and did rural health clinics. Both of those experiences really started my love of not only South Africa, but of travel, of meeting new people, of speaking different languages, of having totally different experiences to what I was used to. What's the difference when working in different regions of the world like Australia and South Africa? It's different for me to be immersed in different cultures, and I always find that really interesting, but the biggest takeaway for me from a neuroscience point of view is that people are the same everywhere. We're all under the same stresses, we care about the same things, we're affected in terms of our moods and our motivations in very much the same way.
This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm on the train from Geneva into the mountains in Switzerland. You asked me what I like about working in places in America like Boston and New York. Well, they're vibrant places with great cultural activities and restaurants, but the thing I really like about them is the people I know there. I always stay with friends, I never eat alone, I get to find out about the latest cool places to go. But also the work is really interesting in both of those places. It's a progressive country, so in terms of trends in coaching and neuroscience, I'm always kept at my best and at the edge. From a neuroscience point of view, how do I prepare myself for optimal travel when crossing time zones? I make sure that I get into the local time zone in terms of sleep routine as quickly as possible. I use the method of fasting on the plane journey to keep myself awake and get myself into the correct time zone. I make sure that I'm very well hydrated, that I use caffeine very specifically, and that I know where the local juice bar and health food shop are. I take my own supplements, including especially probiotics when I travel. I always pack my trainers or sneakers first, make sure my hotel has a gym or that I can get outside and do at least 10,000 steps a day in daylight. And I do some meditation or yoga to keep myself going when the jet lag hits really hard.
The world is becoming smaller by the day. With advances in technology, the type of tech on the horizon, which will beam an image of someone into your room directly, all while they sit in a faraway place, making you feel like you're in a meeting with them. This tech is growing at an insane pace. Despite these advances, there are some things we can only learn by traveling to a culture and engaging it. Dr. Swart is a believer in balancing exposure to tech with face-to-face contact. As she mentioned, she tries not to eat alone, preferring to engage one-to-one, because this face-to-face contact nourishes the brain and not just the stomach. While in Boston, studying at MIT in her Neuroscience for Leadership course, we tried to meet up for dinner, but it didn't work due to our schedules. But I did manage to grab her in between classes to ask her about how we become more agile as leaders, leaders who have the ability to navigate this increasingly crazy world. Here's what she had to say. So it's really good to hear your work is evolving. I know you're working on a new book. Before we go into this, can you tell us a little bit about the new book?
The new book is called The Source, The New Science of Unlocking Your Mind. It's based on four principles, which are neuroplasticity, brain agility, mindset mastery, and simplicity. And then it goes on to help you understand the neuroscience of visualization and vision boards.
Well, I feel like you're going to give us something like a bit of insight quickly into what I know we don't have much time, but brain agility. Share with us a couple of two or three things that people can be thinking about to make themselves more agile, dealing with complexity and dealing with chaos in the workplace.
Because we've developed certain brain pathways quite strongly, the things that we like to do or we find easy, it's common to find that you rely on logical thinking and maybe a bit of emotional intelligence to get through your work day and your life. Because the world is changing at such a rate, it's not about being good at everything, but it's important to be good enough at both logical thinking and emotion intelligence, also understanding what motivates and demotivates other people and yourself, using your creativity, using your intuition, and listening to messages from your body, which is your physicality. Going forward with the rise of AI and machine learning, I think that creativity, emotional intelligence, and intuition are going to be the skills that we should build in our brain more.
And when is your book due out?
The book is due out in March 2019, and I'm busy writing it now.
Hopefully that'll be on my birthday, March 26th, 2019.
It'll be your birthday gift, Timothy, for sure.
Thank you so much. And any final sort of comment, any emerging sort of science or anything that you would like to share? I know, during this training here at MIT, you focused a bit on the fact that being with people, not necessarily being alone, has been quite important to sort of, trigger various chemicals in your body. Can you comment on that?
Sure. So we know now that loneliness is as bad for you as being sedentary or smoking. And from a neurological point of view, this is because the need for the sense of belonging is very, very strong. And you can go online to neurozone.com and do their brain profiler, which can give you a score about your level of social safety. And it's quite an important one to know about in terms of how the rest of your brain functions at peak performance. So you really need that as a safe foundation for your brain to perform well.
Thanks for listening to our three-part series that combined lessons from those who've took the leap of faith to travel the world to tips from a neuroscientist about how to prepare your brain to thrive while traveling the world. And of course, ideas she shared, helping you become more agile as you lead wherever you decide to lead. Big thank you to Nadia Niafitu, to Callie Simpson and her team, as well as Dr. Tara Swart. This three-part series would not have been possible without you. Remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you listen to your podcast. I'll appreciate that. It makes it easier for people to find us. Join us next week for the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.